Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Texalda Hill wildfire near Tok gained another 1,000 acres yesterday. The State Division of Forestry reports that the blaze has charred over 13,000 acres now, and 113 people are working to protect native land allotments and area cabins from the flames. The fire is about 38 miles southeast of Tok and 14 miles southwest of the village of Northway. The state has scheduled a public meeting for tonight in Northway to update area residents on the situation. Other fires getting attention include the Andrews Creek Fire in the Yukon-Charlie Rivers National Preserve. That blaze has experienced major growth, according to an Alaska Fire Service post. The AFS says the Andrews Creek Fire is now estimated to have burned 4,800 acres. It's located near the smaller Dome Creek Fire. Both blazes are in the vicinity of historic Coal Creek Mining Camp buildings. The AFS reports progress mopping up the Hughes Mountain Fire near the Koyukuk River village of Hughes, where smoke jumpers continue to establish line. The fire remained at about 30 acres yesterday. Structure protection continues for private properties on the Zitziana River Fire south of Manly Hot Springs. That blaze and the neighboring Moose Heart Fire have together burned 115,000 acres. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has delayed consideration of ballot measures that, if approved by voters, would boost property taxes to pay for building repairs. Meeting last night, the panel put off discussion of the measures until it reconvenes Wednesday, August 1st. Last night's meeting was dominated by an urban agriculture ordinance aimed at better accommodating people who want to grow crops and raise animals on residential property. The Assembly approved the ordinance, which allows livestock in urban neighborhoods and permits residents to sell produce at local markets, changes which take effect immediately. KUAC's Robin reports.
Chickens, geese, ducks, turkeys, goats, pigs, and bees, among others, will now be allowed on residential lots. The law includes standards for noise, smell, waste, and keeping the animals in pens. In public testimony, Cynthia Klopaski says chickens and goats aren't as noisy as some folks think.
Farm animals, a small amount, are really not that noisy. I've been listening to my animals and to the animals in the area. Honestly, they're much quieter than the dogs.
But Jeffrey Rensel says the law will have a negative impact.
Basically, livestock has no reason to be in a subdivision. People buying these animals, bringing them to their house, realizing just what it is to feed an animal at 40 below zero, and the animal shelter is going to end up being overloaded with livestock.
The ordinance took nearly a year to come before the Assembly. Kellen Spillman of the Community Planning Department complimented the Planning Commission's process, including surveying nearly 1,000 people about urban agriculture. The ordinance has a bent toward food security, and was informed by the Alaska Food Policy Council.
In the bigger picture, what went into this is consideration of food security in Alaska. About 95% of our food is produced elsewhere and imported into the state.
Ronnie Rosenberg commented that livestock aren't the best food source.
I'm testifying mainly to object to the idea of food security in terms of livestock being a good thing. I'm very interested in plant-based diets, not only for animal welfare reasons, but also for the environment.
The number of animals one can raise depends on how big the piece of land is. For example, 8 ducks or chickens are okay on lots bigger than 2,000 square feet. And if your parcel is 10,000 square feet, one can have 9, 10, 11, basically one more bird for every 1,000 square feet of land, up to 18 altogether. Miniature goats are allowed if parcels are bigger than 10,000 square feet. But standard-sized goats, sheep, llamas, and alpacas are not allowed in most zoning areas. The law is a bit more generous when it comes to the rural residential zoning area. The long ordinance, which is posted on the borough website, includes a chart that shows how many of each kind of animal a resident can have, depending upon the size of their land. In his staff report, Kellen Spillman showed slides at Thursday's meeting of several examples of how residences can have chicken coops or goat pens on typical lots in neighborhoods close to Fairbanks. With the setbacks described in the ordinance, some homeowners will have a more difficult time keeping animals within the 20-foot setback boundary, as particularly older neighborhoods have a lot of smaller than typical parcels.
The red you see up on the screen, that is the lot line of this particular lot. The yellow is the setbacks in the zoning district, and the blue is what your chicken coop or where the animals are kept would have to be set back.
Another part of the law allows for market gardens, small-scale food or flower growing to sell. It won't allow for farm stands at people's homes, but will let someone take the extra zucchini from their backyard to a farmer's market. The ordinance does not include growing cannabis, which is covered in the borough's other laws. The ordinance was passed 7-1. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Around 1 in 8 Alaskans have wondered at some point in the last year where their next meal will come from. That's according to the USDA. Alaska Public Media reports that in some parts of rural Alaska, rates of food insecurity are as high as 27%. Senator Lisa Murkowski has added a grant program to a farm bill that aims to help. The Micro Grants for Food Insecurity program would give individuals and organizations between $5,000 and $10,000 to address food insecurity in their communities. Organizations like the Food Bank of Alaska could benefit from the program. CEO Jim Baldwin says the money could be used to fund training and education, invest in new technologies, or build a community garden or smokehouse.
And if there's an entrepreneur out there that has an idea on how to grow produce or do hydroponics or start some kind of a canning operation, this could really be a seed money to get something up and going that's sustainable.
Baldwin says the program could also help the Food Bank of Alaska start a canning program of its own to preserve excess food and help partner organizations purchase refrigeration equipment. The food bank serves as a hub for food distribution to community organizations across the state.
Oftentimes, some of the agencies that we distribute food to don't have adequate refrigeration to take as much that we can provide for them.
Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and several islands in the Pacific would be eligible. Alaska is slated to receive a total of $4 million in grants per year. Baldwin says Alaska's rural nature and geographic isolation make community efforts to produce and process food locally that much more important for food security. Food Bank of Alaska Public Engagement Director and Alaska Food Policy Council Board Member Kara Durr says a House version of the bill cuts the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program known as food stamps, but says she's hopeful the program will make it into the final version.
We want to make sure that a final farm bill is strong for Alaska. It's strong and supports the nutrition titles, including SNAP, so no additional cuts to that program or onerous requirements that would make people fall off the program.
The House and Senate have passed different versions of the farm bill, and we'll try to hash out a compromise in coming months. The law covers everything from food assistance to rural development to crop insurance. The BBC show Great American Railroad Journeys is filming in Alaska. Alaska Railroad spokesman Tim Sullivan says a film crew from the show is traveling the tracks from Seward to Fairbanks.
They're on our trains filming what's going on outside the window or off the back deck. They do interview some of our passengers. They get to see some of the things that go on at the various stops and things that people can do when they get off the trains.
Fairbanks Tanana Valley Railroad is also being filmed by the BBC crew. Friends of the Tanana Valley Railroad president Steve Horman says the BBC crew is scheduled to visit the historic narrow gauge railway at Pioneer Park tomorrow.
When we operate the steam locomotive for the Fairbanks Memorial Hospital's annual picnic. We run the railroad like we always would, and they're going to be filming what they would like to see for the program.
Another local attraction being filmed by the BBC is the Aurora Express railroad-themed bed and breakfast on Chena Ridge, which owner Susan Madre Wilson says offers rooms crafted inside vintage train cars.
We have locomotives, two of the old Pullman sleepers. Those were from Mount McKinley. Remember in Mount McKinley, they had all the trains around the original hotel? Those are where those came from. A World War II car, a diner, a water tanker, and a caboose.
Among other Fairbanks area sites being filmed by the BBC is the Poker Flat Research Range. I'm Dan Bross.